From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns is focusing on one of the most famous of the judges, Samson. Samson was at once one of the strongest of men, and yet one of the weakest of men. We've seen that the source of his power was the Holy Spirit, that the secret of his power was separation. In the course of his judgeship, Samson demonstrated the signs of his power as he slew a lion, spoiled the Philistines, and delivered the people of Israel, symbolic of the mission of the church in every age. Unhappily, Samson had a serious weakness for ungodly women, which brings us to see the sacrifice of his power. Toying with sin is always destructive to a child of God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message called Samson, a Witness and a Warning. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. The text for today is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ." The believer did not always live to Christ. He began to do so when God the Holy Spirit convinced him of sin, and when by grace he was brought to see the dying Savior making a propitiation for his guilt. From the moment of the new and celestial birth, the man begins to live to Christ. Jesus is to believers the one pearl of great price, for whom we are willing to part with all that we have. He has so completely won our love that it beats alone for Him. To His glory we would live, and in defense of His gospel we would die. He is the pattern of our life, and the model after which we would sculpture our character. Paul's words mean more than most men think. They imply that the aim and end of his life was Christ, nay, his life itself was Jesus. In the words of an ancient saint, "He did eat and drink and sleep eternal life. Jesus was his very breath, the soul of his soul, the heart of his heart, the life of his life." Can you say, as a professing Christian, that you live up to this idea? Can you honestly say that for you to live is Christ? Your business, are you doing it for Christ? Is it not done for self-aggrandizement and for family advantage? Do you ask, is that a mean reason? For the Christian it is. He professes to live for Christ. How can he live for another object without committing a spiritual adultery? Many there are who carry out this principle in some measure. But who is there that dare say that he hath lived wholly for Christ, as the apostle did? Yet this alone is the true life of a Christian, its source, its sustenance, its fashion, its end, all gathered up in one word, Christ Jesus. Lord, accept me. I here present myself, praying to live only in Thee and to Thee. Let me be as the bullock which stands between the plow and the altar, to work or to be sacrificed, and let my motto be, ready for either.
Master, thou callest, I gladly obey. Only direct me, and I'll find thy way. And
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we thank you for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email or by regular mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
When I look back over the past years in which the Free Church has been involved in fighting the ecumenical apostasy, the great movement for the one world church under the domination of the Roman Antichrist, I could say this, that we were well aware that the apostates themselves wouldn't like it. We were ready for that opposition. We were ready also for the opposition from an ungodly press. What do they know about the things of God? We were ready for the opposition from ungodly politicians. Again, they just go with the majority in order to see if their measly little seat in some parliament. But the thing that was most distressing was to find, and we did find this, and we will continue to find this, people who were our brethren, saved by the grace of God, and yet they would take their stand with the enemies of God. You know, it's the money of born-again believers that has kept the great apostate churches on their track. The best givers in any church are the sea of people in the church. It's a sad, sad thing to see God's people lining up with the Philistines, handing the people of God over. But Samson, I like this, he simply burst the bands asunder. He got hold of a new jawbone of an ass, took it in his hand, and slew 1,000 of his enemies therewith. He slaughtered the Philistine host. When we pray for power, we're praying for power to slay the power of hell, to spoil the harvest of sin, and to make a great hip and thigh slaughter among the enemies of God. Now, of course, when the Lord slays men, he can do it either in grace or in judgment. There's a great slaughter among the countless myriads of the lost when God goes in saving sinners. There's also a great slaughter when he starts removing apostates. And I tell you quite honestly, when I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm praying for power to do both. And then, of course, he succored the people in the cause of God. This timid people who were too scared to stand. When Samson stood, they must have had some backbone put in them. Here then are the signs of spiritual power. Now we come to one of the saddest episodes in all the Bible. The sacrifice of Samson's power is given us in chapter 16. Now I've already said that when we read here, verse 1, that Samson went to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. When we read a little later in verse 4, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. We must understand that these were very serious lapses, but they were not Samson's way of life. Samson certainly had a weakness. It was normally under control, but it was always dangerous. A great American preacher, Dr. Talmage, when he preached in Samson, he says, near as I can judge, Samson lived a life of animalism. In other words, he lived just a freak, practically of bodily strength. But he lived on an animal level, just constantly going by the lusts of the flesh and a desire for revenge, but there was no mental greatness, there was no moral greatness, there was no spiritual greatness. He lived the life of an animal. I have to be honest and say I don't believe that. I think that Talmage, probably the greatest orator in America of his age, allowed his oratory to run away with him. I don't believe it for a minute. I find in Scripture that here was a man who was set apart from his mother's womb. Here was a man, and early in life the Spirit of God began to move upon him. The Holy Ghost has picked out these lapses and highlighted them because they were lapses. They were not his constant way of life. What they were the bursting forth of the weakest thing in Samson's nature. Now we all have a point at which we're weakest. You remember when we were going through Hebrews 11 into chapter 12, that Paul spoke of the sin that doth so easily beset us. That sin that coils itself around us. That sin that finds you at your weakest point. In your case, it may be something that wouldn't bother the person beside you. But it's a big botheration to you. We each have our weakest point, and we would do well to learn from Samson that though that sin is normally under control, you can never become complacent about it. If bad temper, a sudden bursting forth of intemperate language, a sudden lapse into evil thinking, or some other form of sin is the weak point in your life, then even though it's been under control for 20 years, don't take it for granted. Live every day, live every moment, submit it to the will of God, submit it to the cause of Christ and the guidance of His Spirit. Make sure that you get victory today. I have often quoted to criticize the line of the hymn, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win." Sounds poetically lovely, but it's utter and absolute rubbish. It's true enough, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." But if you think that because for the last 20 years you have got the victory, therefore you can launch out tomorrow and be sure to get the victory again, you are on your way to Samson's kind of disaster. It's not the victory of yesterday that gives you a victory tomorrow. It is a living, vital faith in the living Christ that will give you a victory tomorrow. And as long as you're living in that vital fellowship with the Savior, you'll have victory. You try to live in a memory. I think that's what Samson did. You try to live in a memory. You'll not be long until you fall. Be very careful. Be very careful about getting God's order of things out of kilter, and out of order. We often think of man as body, soul, and spirit. And he's not. The Holy Ghost says he is spirit, soul, and body. And there's a world of difference. The man who looks upon himself as body, soul, and spirit, like Samson, is going at times to fall into the awful sin of looking after the body and allowing the lusts and the feelings and the desires of the body to overcome the mind and the spirit. Life must be lived in the Spirit. And I'm talking now about in and under the control of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit witnessing and working in our spirit. And that must percolate to the mind so that our very way of thinking is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And as we are under the control of the Spirit, then our bodily desires can be brought and will be brought under the control of the Spirit. That's where Samson had his lapses. Bitter, though brief. Notice how sin worked in Samson. First of all, it lured his steps. It lured him along. I think that undoubtedly, when the devil had Delilah there, she must have been a woman of great beauty, a woman of great attractiveness. Certainly the picture of her is a woman of no mean personality. A woman of tremendous force of character. A woman of brilliant strategy. She was a woman who knew how to handle Samson. Sin lured Samson's steps. Beware the blandishments of the world. Then she put him to sleep upon her knees. Sin lulled Samson's senses. Even if you have not yet fallen into any great lapse, my friend, if you're at the place where you're not willing to think straight and think scripturally, where you're not willing to bring whatever you're doing or involve them down to the plain statements of the Word of God, beware, because sin is already lulling your senses. And then we read that she cut off his locks. Sin locked Samson's strength. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible, to me, is in chapter 16 and verse 20. She said, "The Philistines be upon you, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, "I will go out, as at other times." Notice the words, "and shake myself." In other words, Samson must have already been feeling some of the weakness. There was a lethargy, there was something missing. He says, "I'm going to go out and I'll shake myself." Then this awful statement, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." An inexpressibly sad verse. You see, Samson trifled with sin. And I want to tell you, sin is never a matter to be trifled with. Samson toyed with sin. He was having a rare time with Delilah. "Wherein is the secret of your strength?" Give her the first answer come into his head. Toying with sin. Then I thought, I don't know if you use this word in America, as I was in my study, I thought of this. He truckled with sin. You use that word here, you don't, though. I'm going to give you a little lesson then in the English language, semantics. He truckled. You've heard about having no truck with something. Well, he truckled with sin. I decided to look up an Oxford dictionary to find out what that meant. I thought I knew what it meant, but I got a lot of light on it. Because it has the idea of he submitted obsequiously to sin. Or he lay. A truckle is actually a form of a bed. He lay in a truckle bed with sin. I thought, well, man, that's Samson. That's Samson. You've heard the old saying that if you go to bed with a dog, you're going to get up with the fleas. Well, certainly, if you truckle with sin, you're going to pay the price that Samson paid. And what a price he paid. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters. They did grind in the prison. I wouldn't be original in saying this, for I think every preacher who's ever preached in Samson has pointed out the three things: the blinding, the binding, and the grinding. It's all there. And my friend, that is the price that a man pays when he sacrifices the power of the Spirit of God for trifling, toying, and truckling with sin. Remember what I said earlier? The secret of Samson's power was separation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.